All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. I've entitled this message tonight, Resting in the Midst of Adversity. Resting in the Midst of Adversity. The Lord has blessed Isaac. He said he would. And he did so in spite of all of Isaac's frailties. For that, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to read the faithfulness of our Lord. Such a blessing to just realize that our Lord's blessing to us, his people, is not based upon the faithfulness that's found within the creature because we're frail. We fail. We would desire to walk consistently. We want to. We want to. But oh, how hard I see myself being. But he blesses according to the faithfulness and the merit and the glory of the one in whom we're chosen, the Lord Jesus Christ, our representative, our advocate, our mediator before God. Abimelech, after the Lord had blessed Isaac, said in verse 16, "Go from us. Thou art much mightier than we." And the scripture says, in verse 17, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there." Now the Lord had told him that he would only sojourn there. But as we looked at last time, he didn't tell him when to leave. He told him, he said, "You'll just be here for a little while, but providentially, now was the time." And the Lord was pleased to use the mouth of a heathen king to tell Isaac when it was time to go. He asked him, he told him, he said, "Depart from us." Isaac, he left. Brethren, we seek the Lord's direction. That was obvious. Isaac knew he wouldn't be there long. We, again, I said last time, but look at the picture of us being here on this earth. We're just here for just a little while. Often I think back on how quickly it was. I'll reflect back when I was in high school. I'll go back to elementary. And I think, it was just like a vapor. That's what it was. It was just there. But here is Isaac, and he's called and told by the Lord through this king, okay, it's time to go. And so he left. Our lives are in the hands of him who rules. Well, in verse 18, it said that he dwelt in the valley of Gerar. And that word valley right there, it means stream bed. It was a stream bed that was through there. And verse 18 says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Now, here's Isaac in a place where Abraham, his father, had been, and where his father had dug some wells. But the Philistines, obviously, they filled them out of resentment toward Abraham, filled them up, the scripture says, with earth. But this, again, is common to the people of God. Here's the reason. It's Matthew 24, verse 9. The Lord speaking, and he tells his disciples, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, for my name's sake, for professing the name, the character, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazingly, and we find this sometimes hard to understand or believe, but the scripture declares the world and God's people, the carnality of man by nature and the spirituality of God's people, it just doesn't mix. And God's people are going to live through this life in affliction. It's just going to be that way. And it's vain to think that we're going to escape the resentment of this world. It's just the way it is. The Philistines had taken and filled up ever some wells. There was water. There was water there, but because Abraham dug them, they filled them up. Isaac is gone, and he's now dug them out again. And though those wells have been filled by a hostile act against his family, Isaac was resolved to reopen those wells that his dad had dug. The Lord had blessed his dad, Abraham. Had revealed to Abraham covenant mercy, grace, and Isaac went back where his dad had been. Where the Lord had directed him, and he called his names after the names which his father had called them. And if you want to know, turn back to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, this is when Abraham was with a king also named Abimelech, which I think many think was a title. But Genesis 21, verse 31, and this is where I'll just come right down to it. They'd made an agreement, and Abraham had talked with him, and he said there was a squabble here, and he brought out these seven ewe lambs for a witness, and that he had digged the well. And it says in verse 31, wherefore he called that place Beersheba, the well of the oath, because there they swear both of them. So Isaac reopened that well that his dad had dug, and where the blessing of the Lord had been evidenced. And that's just where the trials for Isaac really started, or continued, let's say it like that. Let's read 19 to 22. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water, living water. And the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, contention, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna, or hatred. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Now, I read all those verses together, and I want us to consider the Lord's instruction to us today. And I want us to behold for just a few minutes the blessing of being taught something about meekness and patience in the midst of adversity. For the sake and the glory of the Lord. A wise man, that is one that's been given some wisdom, taught of God, to know that the Lord is the one that's ordering everything that goes on. Nothing is happening by chance or luck or anything. All that the Lord is pleased to do, he's doing for his glory and for the good of his people. And here is Isaac. He's redug this well that his dad had dug, and he began then to dig another well, then another well. And he dug them. He was living in the valley of Gerar, a place where there was a stream of water. But the Philistines that lived in Gerar, when he went out there and dug that well, they went out there and said, "That's ours. You may have dug it, but this is our land." And so the scripture says that he dug that first well, verse 19. His herdmen found a well of springing water, running water, and those herdmen came out of here and came out there and they said, "That belongs to us. That's ours." And the scripture declares that when they came out, verse 20, said, "That water's ours." He called the name of that well Contention. Contention. You know, we're going to live in a world with contention, with hatred. But rather than bring reproach upon the gospel, especially when the matter was of a temporal sort, like this, what he did was, scripture says, verse 21, he dug another well. And they strove with him about that one. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Now this is truly that which is contrary to the flesh. Can you imagine? He went out there, got outside of town. They asked him to leave town. He left town. He went out there in that valley, dug out the well that his dad had done, that they had filled up. He dug a well, and they came out there. And he said, that's our water. And he just went and dug another one. James chapter 1, 2-7. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." I thought about Isaac. They went out there and dug that well. And came out there and they told him, they said, "That's our well. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed." I'm a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. "Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Now, hundreds of years before the Lord, turn with him to Matthew 5. Hundreds of years before the Lord preached his Sermon on the Mount, here was Isaac exhibiting the spirit of a believer, of one that believed God, trust God. Here's Isaac, a vessel of God's covenant mercy. And the Lord's taught him something. And he's teaching us through this thing too. I've read this passage here and I'm reading it and I'm thinking, I know what the natural man would do. I know what I think I'd do. Went out there and cleaned out where your dad had dug and they filled it up with dirt and then you went and dug another well and they came and took it and they said, "That's ours." You know, you're just real tempted. "Go ahead, I'm going to just say something about this." You know, well, you weren't out here digging it, but that's not what he did. I want you to look at Matthew 5, 38. Matthew 5, verse 38 to 42. "You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil." That is, don't resist the one that's exhibiting evil against you. That's what that says. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. True faith. No, Lord, help our unbelief here. True faith makes men and women content in the midst of difficulty. That's a great lesson. Let patience have her perfect work. When Abraham and Lot's herdman was driving over grass, what did Abraham do? He said, "We're brethren. Brethren. It's grass. You take what you want, and I'll take the rest." He set his eyes toward Sodom. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2. I know we're turning a lot, but that's okay. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 19 to 24. First Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Nothing was at stake but water. It was water. It was grass. It was not over the gospel, it wasn't over the... And what he did, and if it's an issue over the gospel, we take a stand on it. But if it's something, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, according to the scriptures, bear it willingly. Well, I tell you what, I'm just going to be honest with you. I need this. And the patience and meekness of Isaac, do we not behold in type and shadow the submissiveness of our precious Savior? Turn to Isaiah 53. As he stood before his accusers, bearing our guilt on Calvary's tree, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 to 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Back in Genesis 26, verse 19, 20, again, just a couple of comments. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of living, springing, spring. It means living. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. He called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. Now they found this well of living, flowing, fresh water. But there was something that it hit me when I was reading that. The herdmen, it says they did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water's ours. And he called the well Esek because they strove with him. That word again, Esek, meaning contention. Strong's concordance says it means to press upon, to quarrel, or strive with. And if we consider that well of springing water dug by Isaac's servants to be a beautiful picture of the blessing and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ himself toward his people, then we see something of every believer's state in this world. Now, I want to try to make good on that. But, I mean, I can look at that, and first thing I thought about, it said there was a well of springing water. Now, what's the first thing you think about when you hear that? First thing, the Lord Jesus. He is the fountain of life. But I want you to turn to Song of Solomon, and I want to read something that the Lord himself said through the mouth of Solomon about this springing water. Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 4, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 4. Now listen to the words of our Lord talking about this springing water, living water. Look, let's look. Song of Solomon 4, verse 8 to 15. Now here's the Lord speaking to his bride. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Just in the description of what the Lord has done for his bride. And he looks at her and he said, you're beautiful. And he made her that way. And all of these glorious expressions of the beauty and the smell and the savor. He's telling her. He says in verse 12, a garden enclosed, a garden barred, protected, is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed with the Spirit of God. His insignia, his stamp is on her. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard. Spikenard and saffrons, calamus, cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, aloes, with all the chief spices. Now here it is right here. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Here's what he's saying. All the blessing of the fruit of God's Spirit is upon, given to the bride. She possesses the blessing of the Lord. And he's commending her. He's talking about it. And these herdmen back in Genesis 26, when Isaac and herdmen had found that spring of living water, springing water, they said, that's mine. That's ours. That's ours. And it went through my mind, that's the attitude of this world. They think that spring of living water that they are because of their works, because of their deeds, their works of righteousness that they've done. They think that they're the owners of it. They said, that's ours right there. What did Isaac do when they came and told him, that's ours? He just went and dug another one. Didn't argue with him. We don't argue with them. We're not here to argue. We proclaim the glorious truth of God's Spirit, God's Word. Verse 21, again, just touching on it, they digged another well and strove with that also. He called the name of it Sitnah. Hatred. Oh, this is our lot. As the Lord was despised and rejected, he said, they hated me and they're going to hate you. And they're going to do so for my name's sake. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and God's people. This world does not want to hear the message of a sovereign God. Man, by nature, wants to be God. Those that are truly the Lord's, those chosen in Christ, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by God's Spirit, they truly desire to avoid strife. That's what Isaac did. He didn't argue with them. He didn't fuss with them. He didn't make claim, no, I dug it. He did not desire to strive. Psalm 120, verse 7. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. But though Isaac would be made to endure great contention, suffer hatred because of being envied by the Philistines. That's why they told him to leave. They envied him. They told him to leave. I want you to consider the great reward which was brought about in the midst of this adversity. Last verse. He removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. How wonderful to behold that even in the midst of contention and hatred which was rendered toward Isaac and will be and has been and shall be toward us, adversity which proved to be the means by which the Lord blessed him. Went to this place, dug a well, they said, it's ours. Went over here, dug another, that's ours. Moved over here. They didn't strive with them. Why didn't they not strive with them? Because the Lord had made room for them. Wasn't because they quit envying him. That wasn't it. The scripture says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Brethren, what we experience by the Lord's loving hand of chastisement, trials which are grievous for the moment, there always are. I mean, you've heard me say how many times, I wake up in the night. I told you before, it's always worse in the night. It's always worse. And I even try to tell myself that when I wake up at night. Tell myself, I know it's worse at night, but you know what? It don't help. I just still talk. But all of these things that we go through, which are grievous for the moment, are often proven to be the very means of God's blessing. What we consider this is bad, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The things that we think are ours in this world by right are but alone from the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That water didn't belong to those Philistines. It didn't belong to Isaac either. It belonged to the Lord. And the Lord removed from Isaac. He dug that well. They said, that's ours. He went over here and dug another well. That's ours. And the Lord removed it. He said, well, the Philistines did it. No, he did. The Lord rules in heaven and earth. The Lord removed it from him. And the Lord's removing it from Isaac was according to the Lord's right to remove it from Isaac. And he did so in order to bless Isaac abundantly. The Lord made a place for him. Oh, how wonderfully do we behold at times the mercy of our Lord to take that which we thought was so needful. I think about that text I just read from D. I need my health. Really? What if the Lord says, I don't? It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. The Lord gave that which the Lord was pleased to give Isaac. Isaac said, the Lord hath made room for us. I read that this afternoon. I thought how wonderful it is to be somewhere where you truly believe this is where the Lord wants me to be. This is where the Lord wants me to be. And if this is where the Lord wants me to be, then I'm good. I'm satisfied. I'm settled. Nothing settles the heart like knowing that the Lord has made room. And the Lord blessed him there, made him fruitful there. May the Lord teach us. I'll be the first to say, and everybody here will agree with me. Trials and tribulations are going to come. We know that. But when they do, oh, how that flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary one to the other. May the Lord settle us, teach us. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Amen. All right.